a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the campus of the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, the Utah Debate Commission welcomes you to the Attorney General Republican Primary Candidate Debate.
Hello, I'm David Magleby. It's my pleasure to have been invited by the Utah Debate Commission to moderate today's Attorney General Republican Primary Debate. This event, held live on June 2nd, is part of the Utah Debate Commission's work to educate voters and encourage the civil exchange of ideas. If you're watching or listening live to this debate, we encourage your reactions and questions on social media using the hashtags UTDebates and ListenLearnVote. The candidates are with me here in the Dolores Dory Eccles Broadcast Center on the campus of the University of Utah. They are alphabetically David Levitt, Utah County Attorney, Sean Reyes, Utah Attorney General. Today's questions will be posed by myself, university students, members of the press, and the viewing audience participating through social media. The Utah Debate Commission has established the format to be used for today's debates. Candidates will have up to 1 minute, or occasionally 2 minutes, to respond to each question. I will specify the time in each case at my discretion. There may be up to 30-second rebuttals, and I may also ask occasionally a follow-up question for a 30-second response. A random draw approved by the candidates and held prior to the debate determined that Sean Reyes will respond first to the initial question. We will then alternate who answers first on the remaining questions. Having already referenced the candidates' current or former titles, I will address them all as Mr. from this point on. And let me note for the broadcast audience that there is no audience here in the studio today. The small number of us in this room are following all the guidelines from public health protocols and social distancing. It's important for every voter to know something personal about a candidate. And so the Utah Debate Commission crafted a question that allows the candidate to first goes, Mr. Reyes, to the following question. What about you is a justification, if you will, for voters to vote for you in this 2020 election?
Professor, let me answer it this way. I'm running because I love Utah. I love the people of Utah. And for 6.5 years, I have stood watch over this state, protecting your kids and grandkids from child sex predators and traffickers and abusers, protecting your teens from street drugs and vaping and suicide, guarding your personal private data from online hackers and cyber criminals, and protecting your family finances from frauds and scams and schemes. I've teamed with the federal government to fight back against the opioid epidemic, against elder and senior abuse and school violence, and I have stood up to the federal government when it's chosen to try to exert more control over our lands and our lives and our liberties. Hasn't been easy, working 12 to 15 hour days up and down the state, traveling sometimes to DC, Supreme Court, White House, Congress, to bring back wins and resources to the state of Utah. But I've got more to give. I want to build on the successes that my team and I have created here in the state of Utah. And I want to finish the job that I started.
Mr. Levitt, same question to you.
I've practiced law for 30 years. I've represented state governments at every level, from municipal, county, state, and even national governments in Eastern Europe. I've spent almost 30 years in the criminal justice system, 10 of those as a criminal defense attorney, 10 of those as an elected prosecutor. And I will tell you that our very liberties are at jeopardy. What qualifies for me to run is that I have seen the criminal justice system from every angle, as a prosecutor, as a defense attorney, and also as a reformer in the countries of the former Soviet Union. 99 times out of 100, prosecutors don't have to prove the allegations they make. That endangers our liberties, and I'm here to change that. I'm here to give power back to people, to reduce plea bargains, to increase the number of jury trials we have, and to return proper balance to government.
I commend you both for being so spot on time. Next question is from Olivia Erickson, a student from Weber State University.
It's Olivia Erickson, and I'm a student at Weber State University. And my question is, what are the differences between your and your opponent's approach to the Office of Attorney General?
A one-minute answer. This will go to Mr. Leavitt first.
I believe that as the chief law enforcement official in the state of Utah, that the Attorney General should be out front in leading criminal justice reform. The reality is that 90% of the people in our jails are not violent people. Only 10% are violent. The violent and the dangerous, they belong in prison. But the other 90%, we need different ways for them to pay their debt to society. We must reform our criminal justice system. The role of the Attorney General as chief law enforcement official of the state is to lead out. I'm doing that in Utah County as the Utah County Attorney, and I'm running for Utah Attorney General because in almost 7 years as being the Attorney General, Sean Reyes has done nothing to reform the criminal justice system. He believes in the lock-em-up mentality that is destroying all of us, and I will say, punishment, yes, retribution, no. It's about redemption. The violent and dangerous belong in prison, but most of them are not that way.
Mr. Reyes.
Thank you. Well, certainly criminal justice reform is an important issue, but it's not the most important issue. And anybody who tells you that it is not qualified to be the Attorney General. The Attorney General has so many more roles and responsibilities than just one. Represents the state, but he also represents the people of the state. The Attorney General is an independent voice that stands up even to other members of the executive branch. Attorney General handles all the civil cases, complex litigation. Attorney General handles criminal cases, statewide jurisdiction, for all of the many things that I talked about, not just violent crimes, but crimes like white-collar frauds and scams and schemes, things that I have brought to the state of Utah so many resources to, have been called the statewide and national leader. My opponent talks about me being aggressive. I am aggressive on crime, but there's a reason people like Senator Mike Lee have said that I've done more for criminal justice reform than any other Republican attorney general in the United States. So I believe I've done more than my opponent has in criminal justice reform, and that's the only issue that he's running on.
So let me ask a quick follow-up. Mr. Reyes, what specifically have you done on criminal justice reform? And Mr. Leavitt, of the list of things that Attorney General Reyes mentioned, are those important to you, too? A follow-up. Mr. Reyes. Mr. Leavitt, you go first. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. The Attorney General represents every state agency in government. And I have the experience necessary both as a city attorney, a county attorney, and as a lawyer who has advised the nations of Ukraine and Moldova. I understand how government works, and I understand that the role of the Attorney General is broader than criminal justice reform, but I will say criminal justice reform is the issue of our generation, and the reason why Mr. Reyes doesn't want to talk about it is because he hasn't done it.
Mr. Reyes.
I've prosecuted some of the biggest drug cartels and traffickers, but helped addicts and low-level offenders get treatment, Professor, rather than incarceration. Helped Congress and the White House pass the historic First Step Act. Didn't see my opponent there doing anything on that. It expands rehabilitation, reduces mandatory minimum sentences. I've brought reintegration programs like the Other Side Academy and One Voice here to the state of Utah to train them job skills. I've worked especially with juvenile justice, HB 239, to pass that. Indigent Defense, the Rocky Mountain Innocent Center, drug courts, restorative justice. I have been standing and leading here in the state while my opponent's been in the Ukraine for most of the last decade.
Let's go to a question that was suggested in your answers, which is the following. What is the proper role of the Attorney General in state government? Is the office a check on the governor and the legislature? If the Attorney General is a lawyer for the state, Why does the governor and the legislature have their own lawyers? This one goes to Mr. Reyes first.
Yes, absolutely. The attorney general has an independent voice and role, which is one of the reasons why I have strongly and always said the AG should be an elected official. Some states appoint, but there's a reason why we elect, because the governor and no other executive is an emperor, and they need at times to be checked. So there's checks and balances that we have within the different branches, but even within the executive branch, far too much power to vest in one person. Appointed AGs, they have a hard time speaking and acting independently. So an elected AG is absolutely necessary to be able to represent the people. Now, there are times I represent the governor. There are times that I represent the state agencies. But I also have independent parens patriae power to bring lawsuits on behalf of the people, which we have done. Now, don't get me wrong, Professor. I agree with the governor a lot of the time. We work collaboratively together. We try to find ways to get things done. But I don't agree with him all of the time. And when I need to have independence, I need to be able to fight for the state of Utah based on and be responsible and accountable to what the people of Utah said. Now, some people say you can still do that again with an appointed attorney general. I say no. You have to be able to be directly accountable to the people so that the AG can bring forth all of the different types of things. Criminal justice reform, like I've talked about. Being hard on crime, unlike my opponent. Fighting child sex crime, fighting traffickers, fighting drug cases. And not only that, expanding out to fight the opioid epidemic and other threats that exist. Mental behavioral health, to me, is a far bigger issue than just criminal justice reform. Mental behavioral health issues underlie our suicide problems, our opioid problems, and our addiction problems, our child pornography problems. And we have not done a good job as a state or a nation on addressing mental health. We need more resources there, and that's a place where I've stood out and championed. Passing the Safe Utah app, getting a three-digit number nationally. All of these are resources for the people to be able to protect themselves. That's the role of the state attorney general, independent voice.
Mr. Leavitt.
The state attorney general is the chief law enforcement official for the entire state. He or she is the only elected office holder who has charging capacity and investigative capacity statewide. The attorney general has the capacity to charge anyone he or she wishes to charge, investigate anyone he or she wishes to charge, and he or she has 100% complete immunity for those actions. Because of that, the attorney general is, by definition, a check on the governor, a check on the legislature, a check on the police. That is the role of the attorney general. It's not necessarily a fun job. It is a job that requires the ability to weigh and balance and the ability to deal with the tension that must exist between the governor and the attorney general, the legislature and the attorney general, and the police and the attorney general. Because at the end of the analysis, the attorney general is the people's lawyer. I represent, as the attorney general, the people of the state of Utah. That means that when we are dealing with important issues such as public lands, that I look at the people's perspective, the people's needs. When I'm dealing with issues such as criminal justice reform, I understand that it's not simply about locking everyone up. The violent and dangerous, they belong in prison. But that's only 10% of our offenders. The attorney general, the job of the attorney general is to look at our criminal justice system and say, as a chief law enforcement official of the state of Utah, it is my duty and my obligation under state law to exercise supervisory powers over county attorneys so that we have one criminal justice system in the United States, one criminal justice system in the state of Utah, not 29 criminal justice systems in the state of Utah. What occurs in Salt Lake County should be the same as far as prosecution of what occurs in Wayne County. That's the role of the attorney general.
A quick follow-up. It's no secret that Utah is a one-party state, heavily influenced by the Republican Party, both in the state legislature and in the governor's office. As Republicans running for this office, how can you reassure the public that party doesn't trump responsibility? I think the first one here was Mr. Reyes.
I said the last first one, or do you want me to take it?
You'll go first on this response.
Very good.
30 seconds.
For a rebuttal on party,
from
the beginning, Professor, people have known that I hire the best lawyers, the most qualified lawyers. In fact, when I came in, we fired everybody who was in a position of power and said, we're going to rehire all of them. It doesn't matter what the letter is next to their name. representing the people of the state of Utah means that the AG's office is a law office. It's not a political office first. There's politics that surround it, and every legal decision you make has a political implication. But first and foremost, we look for the most talented lawyers. We represent the people vigorously. That's how you avoid hyperpartisanship in an office like the Attorney General.
Mr. Leavitt.
The Attorney General should be above politics. As Attorney General, I will understand that while I'm a Republican, I represent the interests and the needs of people of all political persuasions and those who have no political persuasion. It's laughable to me that our Attorney General, Sean Reyes, is telling me that he avoids politics. There has not been an Attorney General in recent memory who is more politically aligned with one party and advances the interests of one party than Mr. Reyes.
We're going to go to a social media question now. This one will go first to Mr. Leavitt. It's from Timothy Takuafu, and it is the following. What would you have done differently in light of the recent protests in Salt Lake City?
I want to commend and recognize the sacrifices of our law enforcement officials, our police officers, their families. And you know, as a Utah County Attorney and earlier as a Juab County Attorney, I have spent countless hours with our police, and I understand most of their hearts. I understand most of their desires. I understand really what it is they want to do in protecting our society. We need to understand that the turmoil in recent days, what we're seeing all across this country, is an absolute tragedy. But we need to understand that it is the symptom of the larger problem. People don't feel heard. People don't feel like they have a voice in their government. What would I do differently? I would do a better job at acknowledging the government's responsibility to hear its citizens. I would understand that a large part of this problem is that prosecuting attorneys across this country and also in the state of Utah have not done a good enough job holding police accountable for their actions. Despite the fact that we love the police, despite the fact that we are grateful for them, despite the fact that they make tremendous sacrifices and we need the police, we must understand that the police need us and the police need someone to be a check on the police. Unbridled power or unchecked power for anyone is an unhealthy thing. And the reason why we have problems like we do today is because people are angry. People are angry because they view police as having unchecked power. The reason why people see it this way is because prosecutors, and I will include the Attorney General in that, prosecutors do not view themselves properly as a check on police. They view themselves as someone trying to be part of their club. While we need to work with the police, we can't be part of the club of the police because we are their check.
Mr. Reyes.
Ironic, again, uninformed conclusion from my opponent because I've filed lawsuits as the Attorney General against sheriffs, against police chiefs, against law enforcement. At the same time, I want to talk about something that he said, because I do agree with my opponent that this was a tragic case, and I want to talk about why it's tragic. First and foremost, the life that was lost, George Floyd's. After that, there's so much more tragedy. It's tragic because the violence that's erupted now, taking more lives, is overshadowing the important message that needs to be heard from the peaceful protesters that, yes, there is a racial divide. As a person of color, I understand it very deeply. I know it. I feel it. Just because I'm the Attorney General doesn't immunize me from it. It deepens distrust between minority communities and cops. And the public does vest incredible power in the hands of police and prosecutors. And we have to make sure we do everything we can so that we don't have a situation in Utah like George Floyd. Professor, I didn't wait till 2020 to solve this problem. I did what a real leader does. As soon as I came into office in the wake of 2014, Ferguson and Eric Garner, I sat down with the NAACP. I met with national leadership of the Urban League. And I sat down to figure out what we could do better. Two things came out of that. They had a lot of suggestions, but they said, we'd like you to do better training for law enforcement, AG. We also would need mental health resources. And so I went and we created a virtual simulator here that layers incredible resources on top of de-escalation of violence. And we've trained over 3,000 law enforcement officers here in the state of Utah on how to avoid excessive use of force, on how to use their voice, how to stay calm, how to de-escalate violence. This was highlighted at an international police chiefs conference because they said this is the way to do it. people of color, leaders of color have come in and said, this is the way that we do it. We've also expanded mental health resources to law enforcement for my office, and we're working on getting that for everyone. Every law enforcement officer needs that because of the trauma they endure. 99% of the officers are noble public servants out there, and we can't forget that. Like people like Officer Lyday, who just lost his life responding to a call for help.
Thank you. I'm going to inquire if the candidates want to do a rebuttal on this one. Or should we move on to the next question?
We can keep talking about this.
Okay, let's go to the next question then. This one will go to Mr. Reyes first. Is it appropriate for the Attorney General to join other states in legal cases involving the federal government with no connection to Utah? Specifically, should the Utah Attorney General call for the U.S. Department of Justice to drop its case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn?
Yes, it's absolutely appropriate because injustices at the federal level affect us all. And so it may not be that Utah is a party in the state that has standing, but the Flynn case is a good example of put aside the politics, professor, of that case. And this is something that even my opponent will have to agree to me on, that the court is a check on prosecutors. The court is not itself a prosecutor. And the reason why I joined my colleagues in filing that brief in support of General Flynn and his writ of mandamus to the appellate court is that the court was trying to extend its power far beyond what the Constitution grants it. And the implications of that are terrorizing. If you think about that, the court could keep a case going whenever it wanted to, based on its own determination of what was meritorious or not. Only the prosecutors, only the executive branch has that power to bring the case and to continue the case, and that's what we ask the court to do. Start acting like a court and not a prosecutor.
Mr. Levitt.
Certainly there are times when a state attorney general should engage in or join a lawsuit that affects the state of Utah if it is only even tangentially related. That should be something that should be discussed between the governor, the attorney general, and the state legislature, because it's not simply the attorney general's job in that respect. It should be something that's done by consensus. But I'd like to discuss, if I may, the fact that the attorney general is part of the Republican Association of Attorneys General, and every time the Republican Association of Attorneys General involve themselves, it's for partisan purposes. And Mr. Reyes is duty bound to follow the Republican Association of Attorneys Generals because they give him so much money. They funnel dark money from various organizations. He's received over $125,000 from them in this election cycle. That's why he's doing their bidding.
I want to ask a follow-up on this and then include your rebuttal, if you will, in that. Given the standard that you announced, Mr. Reyes, where injustice has been done and it doesn't matter where it happened, on what basis would you not pursue many, many other such appeals? How do you limit, given all the other responsibilities you have, the cases in which you write letters as you did in the Flynn case?
First of all, writing the letter doesn't take resources, enormous amount of resources. So just to be clear, we were not writing the brief on that case. Look, this is an important point. And again, my opponents made some, you know, allegations based on campaign rhetoric that I'm somehow duty bound to an organization. Now, that organization happens to be an organization of other like-minded attorney generals, rule of law attorney generals, who, like me, are endorsed by the NRA and have A-plus ratings, or who, like me, are true conservatives who are willing to call themselves that, stand up for conservative values, and yet, when the law calls for it, be bipartisan. And you can ask the National Association of Attorneys General how many times I've joined them. I've joined them in far more briefs and letters in the last 2 months than I have my Republican colleagues from RAGA. And I've stood up against my Republican colleagues, just for an example, on the Indian Child Welfare Act, where I sided with California and other states. It shows my independence, but also the ignorance of my opponent to, again, keep pointing those things out. Pure campaign rhetoric, pure nonsense.
Mr. Levitt.
It's important to understand who you count as your friends and who you count as your and who you count as your duty. If you look over the Attorney General's record over the last 7 years, he is absolutely connected with Republican partisan politics and the causes which they espouse. That's where his money comes from. That's where his heart is. That's what we have seen over the course of 7 years. It would be one thing if the Attorney General, if it were clear that the Attorney General's interest was simply about being the Attorney General and advancing the interests of Utah. But we have seen over and over and over again that is not what's occurring with Mr. Reyes. Mr. Reyes simply goes where the money is and accepts the money, and you know, that's what you've gotten. And if you want another 7 years like that, then that's what you get with Mr. Reyes.
We have a media question up next from Brian Mullahy, KUTV.
Brian.
Contributions to the Attorney General have been raised as an issue in the campaign. Quite simply, is the Attorney General's office transparent enough? And if not, what specifically should be done to make it so?
Mr. Leavitt, you go first.
If I were Attorney General, my first 30 days in office would be to ask and to draft legislation that would limit campaign contributions for the Attorney General as an office, because the Attorney General is unique in state government in the sense that he or she is the only person who has complete charging and investigative capacity in the state of Utah. We have seen over and over and over again that the Attorney General, not just this Attorney General, but for the last 20 years, Attorneys General have put a for sale sign on the office of the Attorney General. Mr. Reyes, for example, accepted $50,000 from a brine shrimp company. Why does a brine shrimp need an Attorney General? It defies logic when you look at the quantity of dollars that come from special interests, and that can only the only conclusion is that the Attorney General's office, as it has been in the past, is for sale. I will restore ethics and accountability to the Attorney General's office.
Mr. Mullahy's question for you, Mr. Reyes.
First of all, I've supported reasonable campaign finance reform. I even supported a bill that put limits on what the Attorney General's office can do fundraising. Secondly, look, there hasn't actually been an allegation that any decision that I've made in my office to investigate or not to investigate, to prosecute or not to prosecute, has been influenced by any campaign. It's easy to throw allegations out as a campaign, but no one's ever even bothered to investigate it because there's nothing there. It's not true. The people that donate know they get no special treatment. They know that they have no influence that they're buying. If they think they're getting that, terrible investment. Why? Google's a good example. They were an early investor. I'm leading one of the most massive national investigations of Google. And because of me, Google ended up getting fined by the EU multiple billions of dollars. So there is no for sale sign. I came in and the University of Utah actually gave me an award here from the Daniel Center for Ethics for doing what we've done, separating the campaign team from the office team so that no one on the campaign side is ever influencing a decision on the office and no one in the office is ever doing anything on the campaign side. It's simple. We've done it. We've cleaned the office up, restored integrity and trust. And if my opponent can't see that, it's not my fault.
So a rebuttal, and we're going to add 15 seconds because of the override on time there.
Thank you. The Center for Truth and Democracy in Government filed suit against the Attorney General's office seeking to find his relationship with the Republican Association of Attorney Generals. Attorney General Sean Reyes used state-funded lawyers to defend his campaign, alleging that his campaign was not part of the Attorney General's office. And it's interesting. I mean, I'm shocked to hear the Attorney General make a statement that he's done simply because you simply go look at the court documents and you see plainly that the Attorney General's office is defending his campaign in legal, in lawsuits.
30-second rebuttal.
Not true. The campaign hired its own legal counsel, Lowry Snow and others. The only thing that my office did was reference that questions coming into them and inquiries were not for them, were for the campaign. Again, you see how my opponent will say anything to get elected, twists everything to make it sound pernicious and sinister. No, we're doing it the right way. We win the right way. And there is. If you want to talk about money, can we extend and keep talking about money? Because my opponent has
30 seconds, but with a pointed question, if I could, for both of you.
Quite a track record of raising
your predecessor, Mr. Reyes, had some controversy about campaign finance issues. And a recent controversy has arisen about a donation to your campaign that was not given to charity or otherwise refunded. I'm talking about the Kingston money.
Sure.
When this happens generally in campaigns, campaigns, as I said, either refund it or give it to charity. Mr. Crooks, on your staff, said the money had already been spent and therefore there would be no refund. Would you explain that justification to us as you respond to the extension?
Sure. And just to be clear, the governor, many other legislators, and many of the organizations took money the same time I did back in 2014, and they all said the same thing. We've already spent it. And I'll admit, my campaign made a mistake, and I'll own that. But it wasn't an illegal mistake. It wasn't an immoral mistake. It was a good faith mistake to try to go above and beyond. And what my campaign staffer said is, everybody else said we've already spent it. If we're able to, we'd like to put it in escrow and wait and see. If the federal government can make their case, we don't want to give it back to that company, Washakie. We'll give it to the federal government. We did nothing wrong. It was a mistake. He found out after the fact from our own FEC lawyers that you can't take money now and segregate it from previous donations. So again, a lot of to-do about nothing. He made a mistake. We've owned up to that mistake. There's nothing sinister about that. And, you know, you can imply a lot of motives. There's a mistake in Utah County recently involving businesses that they outed. People can make assumptions about that, whether my opponent was trying to retaliate for political reasons. I'll leave it at that.
Mr. Leavitt, we'll add 15 seconds as well because we went a little over. Just make sure you have the same amount of time.
Thank you. It's an interesting argument to say that everybody's doing it. Well, the governor's accepting contribution from known criminal families, that the legislature is accepting dollars from known crime families. The difference between the attorney general and the other two groups, the governor and the legislature, is that the attorney general is the person who investigates these people. Now, he accepted the money while they were being investigated by the federal government, and it's interesting, or shortly thereafter, and after he learned of the investigation, he never gave it back. It's interesting to note that the overlap between federal crime and state crime, it is very interesting to say that the federal government convicted these people of the largest fraud in Utah history. It strikes me as somewhat odd that the Attorney General's office didn't even have its own investigation regarding state law violations. Why didn't the Attorney General's office investigate the Kingston crime family during the same time period? Could it be that the fact that they were giving money to every Utah politician have something to do with it? I think it probably did.
I think it's important that we allow you both to respond briefly, but then we're going to go to a break. Mr. Reyes and then Mr. Leavitt.
I don't know where he's got to fact check his stuff. We took that. When that company was one of the darlings of Utah, donated to the Utah Jazz, University of Utah, no one suspected them of what we later found out was tax fraud. And so once we found out, that's when we said we'd like to segregate the money. So this whole notion, and again, you can see the credibility of my opponent, trying to say that I knew they were a criminal syndicate while I was taking the money. We absolutely wouldn't have taken the money if that were the case. Again, innocent mistake, trying to go above and beyond, and my opponent continues to try to mischaracterize and, in fact, just plain out lie for his own political benefit.
Mr. Leavitt.
You know, Mr. Reyes took that donation on three separate occasions, the last one just a few short weeks before this all came to a head. I mean, for him to say that he is Lily White on this is laughable to me. The voters are simply going to have to see who they believe. But the reality is, it is just absolutely wrong to take the kind of money from anybody. $50,000? That's ridiculous.
Check the record.
Okay, we're gonna call it there for a moment. If you're just joining us, we're about halfway through a very engaging debate featuring Republican Party candidates David Leavitt and Sean Reyes, competing for the office of Attorney General. I'm David Magleby and am moderating today's exchange. You can contribute your comments and questions to the live broadcast on social media by using the hashtags UTDebates and ListenLearnVote. Let's get back to more questions. This one will be from Dan Harker, a BYU student. It'll go to Mr. Reyes first.
Do you feel that criminal justice reform is necessary? And if so, how would you approach criminal reform, especially concerning how the state conducts plea bargains and prosecutes nonviolent drug offenders?
Mr. Reyes.
Yeah, before I answer your question, David, I've just got to finish up. My opponent, when you're talking about money, and what's so ironic and hypocritical is that when he ran for Congress in 2008, he raised $556,000 just for a convention cycle with quotes Money no problem for GOP's Leavitt. From the Deseret News, it's nice to have a big family with a bunch of money and friends in high places. He bragged about how much more money he raised than the incumbent. Many of those folks are now supporting me. No surprise. But here he's raised in 2 months the equivalent of what I've raised during the last year. And the amounts of money that we've raised are modest compared to other state AG races of similar size. So again, I really just want to make the point that anything that my opponent says about the amounts of money. Now, he did write himself a check, so I grant that. I'm not a multimillionaire from a multimillion dollar family, so that's great that he wrote himself a check. But that shouldn't have to be the standard. You should be able to fundraise from anybody who wants good government and who wants to be able to exercise their First Amendment rights.
Mr. Harker's question was about criminal justice reform. Do you want to go to that, or do you want to keep talking about money?
No, I think it is so interesting that when the critical question comes up of the most important issue of our generation, the Attorney General has nothing to say. Criminal justice reform. Plea bargains. Our founders gave us a constitution, a legislative branch to enforce, to make the laws, an executive branch to enforce the law, a judiciary to keep those two in harmony. The one power that the founders never gave government was the power to decide someone's guilt or innocence, to take away their liberty. They reserved that power to themselves through the jury trial. But today, 99 times out of 100, prosecutors like me and like Mr. Reyes give plea bargains, which means that 99 times out of 100, we never have to prove the allegations we make. That has increased our jail population from 200,000 people 50 years ago to 2.3 million people today. And 90% of those people are not violent. The reason why we need criminal justice reform is because we are losing our very liberties. And on the topic of criminal justice reform, he wants to talk about my money. He's got nothing to say on criminal justice reform, and that's very evident by this last question.
Well, we spent two minutes talking about it before, and I'm happy to talk about plea bargains if you want to give me a rebuttal on plea bargains. There's no way, Professor, that we can fund my opponent's idea of taking every case to trial. So even if it was constitutionally necessary, which it isn't, it's so economically out of the realm of reality. 100 times the amount of lawyers, 100 times the amount of courts. We can't even fund JRI, an important criminal justice reform that I helped pass while my opponent was out of the country. We can't help fund juvenile justice reform, and he wants to take 100 times more money and put them into plea bargain, some quixotic idea that he has that has no necessity founded in the Constitution.
Mr. Leavitt, you've got to respond to
that. A quixotic idea. Yes. It was a quixotic idea. It was one kind of that was devised by a group of people called the Founding Fathers of our Constitution. The jury trial. John Adams said that the representative government and the trial by jury are the heart and lungs of liberty. The only mechanism whereby people can be saved from being driven like horses, worked like cattle, and fed and clothed like swine and hounds. Mr. Reyes is misrepresenting me. We can do this without putting more money into the jury trial. We charge fewer people with crimes. We charge different crimes. We don't charge with an eye towards getting a plea bargain. This can be done, and I will tell you, there is nothing more important. He wants to call this a nice experiment in Utah County. He wants to call this a quixotic idea. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about our very liberty. It's at stake. And it doesn't matter in the end of the game anything else but the fact that our liberty is at stake, and he doesn't know anything about it.
Let's go to the next question. It's a social media question from Linda Fanua in Kearns, Utah. It'll go to Mr. Leavitt first. Is human trafficking really a problem in Utah? 1 minute.
Human trafficking is a problem everywhere. Mr. Reyes has done a phenomenal job in highlighting the evils of human trafficking. Unfortunately, most of Mr. Reyes's work on human trafficking has been outside the state. Now, it's a huge problem in Colombia, it's a huge problem in Ecuador, it's a huge problem in Central America. But I'll tell you, there's a form of human trafficking occurring in Utah for which the Attorney General gives no audience. 90% of the people in our jails are not violent criminals. Every time we put someone in jail when they should be dealt with differently, that's a form of human trafficking. There are tens of thousands of people in our state, children, who go to bed every night, whose most often times their father owes more than $10,000 in unpaid child support. Their mother's working two and three jobs to make ends meet. It's the job of the Attorney General to deal with that and to prosecute that. Those are felonies. But we don't do anything about it because we're way off in Central America trying to become famous, taking care of a problem that is, by and large, not Utah.
Mr. Reyes, 10 extra seconds on child trafficking, please.
Once again, you see that everything for my opponent comes down to only one thing, criminal justice reform. And if that's the only thing that you as a voter care about, the only thing, and you don't care about protecting our families from child sex predators, he got rid of his SVU union. You don't care about protecting us from opioids. You don't care about protecting seniors and veterans and everything else that I've done, then you should vote for him. If your only issue is criminal justice reform, I will remind you again, I've done more than my opponent on criminal justice reform right here in the state of Utah over and over and over again. He asked for the endorsement of the architect of JRI, Eric Hutchings. He asked him numerous times, trying to gain some credibility for this charade that he has about his criminal justice reform. Eric Hutchings did the video for me because I was the one with him getting JRI passed here in the state of Utah. Human trafficking is a huge issue. My record stands on itself. I took this state from an F to an A in terms of legislation passed, investigations, prosecutions. Human trafficking is the fastest growing crime in the world. Okay. But I've done more here in the state of Utah than just go on a couple of undercover operations.
I appreciate the exchange, but we've got to also honor the time, please. So 10 seconds.
Ten seconds. We're not doing enough for the prosecution of sex crimes. That's why I reorganized my SVU unit to provide more special victims lawyers in every courtroom. Eric Hutchings, I've never even asked him for an endorsement. I don't know what in the world you're talking about. That's an absolute fabrication.
Time. 10 seconds.
Human trafficking. I'm not just a global leader. I'm the leader here in Utah. And we have to continue that fight. There's far too many people suffering sex trafficking, labor trafficking, illegal adoptions. That is a huge issue.
So I want to ask a question. This could be a 30-second answer, but I think it's relevant. If elected in 2020, do you pledge to complete your term in office? This one goes first to Mr. Reyes.
Absolutely. I've turned down offers from Washington, D.C., because, as I said in my opening, I love the state of Utah. I'm here to finish the job that I started. I want four more years because so many of the programs that we started, like getting a three-digit number like 911 nationally that people here in Utah will be able to call when they're in crisis, mental behavioral health crisis, I need to see that through and finish it out. The Safe UT app that we've created, online programs, all of the different strike forces that we've put together with different partners, I want to see all of those through.
Time. Mr. Levitt.
Absolutely. This is not a stepping stone for me. This is a platform from which I can champion criminal justice reform. We must reform our criminal justice system. Mr. Reyes says that this is my only issue. This isn't my only issue, but it is, in fact, my main issue. If I'm elected Attorney General, I will work tirelessly to make sure that the violent and the dangerous remain in prison. I'll work tirelessly to make sure that the nonviolent, that are 90%, have other options to pay their debt to society. I'll make sure that our system is protected and kept safer because of those reforms.
Let's go to the next question. It's from Lee Davidson, the Salt Lake Tribune, and it'll go first to Mr. Levitt.
Hi, this is Lee Davidson with the Salt Lake Tribune. The Attorney General's office recently worked to bypass the normal procurement process to secure a sole source $750,000 contract with Banjo to use its massive surveillance system. The state later cut ties with Banjo after revelations that its founder had ties to a white supremacist group. What lessons were learned from that, and under what circumstances should the state bypass normal procurement processes?
1 minute, Mr. Levitt.
The real issue here isn't the past of Banjo's founder. He was a young boy from a hard and bad family or a dysfunctional family. That's not the issue. The real issue here is the fact that the Attorney General, whose job it is to make sure that state government's contracts are legal and follow procurement guidelines, absolutely ignored the contract and gave a nearly $21 million contract to a company whose technology was still being developed and rolled out. And the purpose of that contract was to be able to aggregate and collect all of the video data feeds of as many cameras as they could, just like person of interest on television. And it violates so many of our civil rights because it gives us no, the contract gives us no freedom to understand what they would do with that data. The Attorney General was absolutely irresponsible in what he did with the Banjo contract.
Mr. Reyes.
We don't give contracts. The legislature appropriates the funds, so we have no control over what the legislature does that way. We abided the procurement process. Lee might not realize, but the Tribune wrote a retraction, including Ron Mortensen in his opinion, saying, sorry about that. We didn't do a good enough job looking. We never bypassed the procurement process, certainly not for a $20 million deal. That was all done. Everything was done properly. But if you want to talk about Banjo itself, it did no facial recognition. Banjo took in no personal private information. People like Senator Mike Lee and his team looked at Banjo, gave it their blessing, said this is great. Because if we can protect people's safety but not violate liberties, that's what we want to do. And that's my point. That's what I do all of the time. Technology can help us so long as we're not violating privacy. Public safety cannot destroy liberty, and my office has never contracted an entity that gathers personal private information. I created an outside committee to audit surveillance. I support an independent privacy officer. And I'm going after Google and many others who are right now doing far more to violate the privacy interests of Utah citizens.
I'm going to ask a quick follow-up, because holding aside the Banjo question, there's been quite a few contracts issued without the normal procurement process, including Test Utah and others, cell phone apps and other things. You're the Attorney General, or running to be Attorney General. What will you do about the procurement process going forward? And this one goes first to Mr. Levin.
It's important to follow the money. You look at RAGA, Republican Association of Attorneys General, you look where they get their money, from where they get their money. They get it from organizations called Judicial Crisis Network, where they don't have to report their donors. So people give money to people that don't have to report, who give to RAGA, and then RAGA gives to the Attorney General, and somehow we wind up with contracts that bypass the procurement standard. Go figure how that happens.
Mr. Reyes.
Again, we abide all the procurement standards. We don't appropriate money. That's the legislature. RAGA has members like Google and Facebook, which I'm suing right now, are massive investigations that we have documents because we believe that they violated the liberties of Utahns. We sued Equifax, also a member, for exposing 1.2 million Utahns and their data for $600 million. We sued Volkswagen and got $20+ billion back for consumers. So that's what it's about.
Okay, let's go to the next question. We've had so much fireworks here. I got to make sure I'm keeping track. It's a Deseret News question that's been sent in. I'll share it. What specific steps would you take to curb white collar fraud, particularly those who prey on older people? And I think this one goes first to Mr. Reyes.
Thank you. Frank Abagnale from the FBI, from the movie Catch Me If You Can, he's a great advocate, speaker around the country. Richard Best, the former director here in Utah for the SEC, said that I'm the best attorney general that they've ever worked with in their careers. Why? Because I created for the first time a standalone white-collar fraud unit in the AG's office to put significant resources, recruited some of the best. We have an aggressive reputation. The SEC brings us cases. The FBI brings us cases. I co-created the Utah Financial Fraud Institute, the Stop Fraud Utah Initiative. I've led dozens of successful cases, including a $70 million Ponzi scheme case. That's the second largest ID theft we've worked. I've created the Economic Crimes Task Force. We combat spoofing, robo-dials, and phishing. Data protection, again, I've talked about. My point, my opponent can't hold a candle to what I've done in terms of all of the different programs for offering fraud, affinity fraud, Medicaid fraud, insurance fraud.
Mr. Levitt.
I've said this many times, and it's not something that I enjoy saying, but the reality is, in the state of Utah, it is easier to steal $10,000 in this state than it is a Snickers bar from the local convenience store. Why? Because all of our law enforcement, the vast majority of our law enforcement resources go toward looking for these kinds of nonviolent offenders. We need to understand that if you steal someone's money, that's an offense of violence. If you don't pay someone what they're owed, that's a crime of violence. We must do a better job refocusing our crimes to the crimes that hurt people. Simple possession of drugs, it hurts society, certainly. But steal $50,000 from an old couple, that devastates people. financial crimes or crimes of violence, elder abuse or crimes of violence. Not paying your child support is a crime of violence. It's something that we must do a better job in Utah.
We're learning a lot today about the role of the Attorney General in Utah. It's an office that's not as well understood as some others. So let me ask a question of both of you. What role does the Attorney General play with the county attorneys, and should that role be changed? Mr. Leavitt, 1 minute.
The Utah Attorney General arguably is the most powerful position in all of state government because of its control over the prosecution of crime in Utah. By state law, the Attorney General is authorized and obligated to exercise supervisory powers over the county attorneys. Now, we want to have local control as county attorneys because we have to have some independence to understand how for differences in local questions. But what happens in Weber County should be the same that happens in Washington County. I will tell you this. I've been the county attorney in Utah's second largest county. I'm all over the place on criminal justice reform. And you know what? In nearly 18 months of being the county attorney, today is the first day I have ever seen the attorney general. I've never spoken with him on the phone. And the attorney general should be out there leading county attorneys. And he can't say he's leading them because I've never seen him.
Mr. Reyes. One minute.
That's funny because I'm out and about up and down the state of Utah. That's why so many county attorneys are supporting me in this race. So many sheriffs, so many chiefs. Maybe the reason I haven't seen my opponent is because I've been fielding calls and complaints about him so often in my office. There's no other public official in the state that I've received more calls and complaints about from leaders and citizens. So I don't want to get into all of that. Let me go back to one point that he made for me. Before I became the attorney general, no one was paying attention to white collar crime. We were known as the Ponzi capital and scheme capital of the world. And I came in and we've changed it. Now I have attorneys general from other states calling saying, hey, congrats on flushing all the cockroaches out of your state, chasing them out. That's great. You're protecting your citizens and your seniors. But what do we do now? Let's work and help together. My opponent would want to be an emperor and tell and dictate to the county attorneys what they would do. He said it many times over and over. It's offensive to the county attorneys. One of the reasons why they don't support him. We have supervisory power in coordinating with the county attorneys, but they're independent elected officials. The state should not be dictating to counties what the counties are supposed to be doing.
Thank you. We are really out of time, so I'm going to let you say whatever additional things you want to say in your closing statements. So I've forgotten who goes first.
Mr. Reyes
first.
Sure. In these uncertain times, there are things that we'll need to change going forward to keep Utah strong. But Attorney General, it's not one of them. I returned honor and integrity to the highest level of our office. Now Utah is safer and stronger than ever. Let's keep Utah strong. I work my heart out. I win in court. I stand up to threats so you can sleep at night. Let's keep Utah strong. I'm endorsed by over 100 Utah leaders, sheriffs, county attorneys, mayors, commissioners, councilmen, members of Congress, legislators, because they know that when they call, I'm there. When veterans and seniors need my help, I'm there. Keep Utah strong. I'm the only one in this race with the highest rating for integrity, ethics, and legal skill by the gold standards of all legal ratings. Let's keep Utah strong. I'm a proud conservative, but I find ways to work with Democrats and Republicans to get things done. Let's keep Utah strong. And I'm a proven leader and winner. I ask for your vote, Sean Reyes, for Attorney General. Together, let's keep Utah strong.
Mr. Leavitt.
I am a person who absolutely will state unapologetically that we must change our criminal justice system. That means that I am disrupting a system in which everyone is comfortable. Yes, I make people feel uncomfortable, but it's not because I'm not doing my job. It's because I am doing my job. In my last 30 seconds, I'd like to raise an issue that no one has even talked about today, and that's public lands. From my earliest days as a youth, it was instilled in me that Utah should control its public lands. Utah is owned by the federal government. Almost 70% of Utah is owned by the federal government. And I have never stopped working as a professional for the ability to Utah to control its public lands. I've never stopped working for it. And like most of you, I've never stopped hoping for it. As Attorney General, I will work my hardest to restore and to provide control in Utah's public lands because the Attorney General has done nothing for that in 7 years.
It's been an enlightening and engaging hour with our candidates, David Leavitt and Sean Reyes. They are both Republicans running in the primary election contest that will be decided on June 30th. Thank you both for participating.
Thanks, Professor.
And for your desire to serve in public office. It's often thankless. Thanks also to our panelists for their contribution. A special thanks today to the efforts of Karen Hale and Wayne Niederhauser, co-chairs of the Utah Debate Commission Board. We appreciate the many hours they spend leading the commission and working to bring Utah voters these debates. Thanks also to Nina Sliding, the Debate Commission's executive director, for her work with candidates, media partners, and sponsors. The commission thanks the University of Utah and PBS Utah for hosting and facilitating this debate, even in these challenging times, as well as the generous sponsorship that was coming from the Larry H. and Gail Miller Family Foundation and the doTERRA International. The Utah Debate Commission urges you to vote in the upcoming primary election held on June 30th. The primary election will be conducted primarily by mail. Please do not forget to mail in your ballot. I'm David Magleby. Thank you for tuning in.